Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy? We got a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with the legend, Greg Romero Wilson.
Hey!
Waiting for Sean McCorkle to come. Who knows what he's up to. It was funny because I was listening to Howard Stern today. People are like, don't like Howard ever since he became a super liberal. Howard Stern is still one of my favorite entertainers. Great show. I'll listen to it all day long. You know, I could not agree with someone's everything about someone's politics and still like them and love them. I mean, it's just fucking called being a person. I like love Howard, and I agree most with politics anyway. But he was saying how they were talking about people getting kicked off airplanes for not wearing masks, and he was saying how anyone who doesn't wear who refuses to wear a mask in public is an asshole. Like they're an asshole before. I couldn't help think of McCorkle.
But not because of the mask, just when he said that person was an asshole.
Exactly. He got there. Beat me to it, buddy.
But the thing is that the thing about Sean though is that you're like the opposite of an asshole. Like everyone that meets you, you're like the nicest.
What?
He's the nicest person in like in person. You won't meet a nicer person.
I'm not gonna say he's not nice, but he's kind of the definition of an asshole. I don't know where you're cutting this, you know. Which I mean, what do you think, McCorkle?
Depends on if you cross me or not.
Exactly. Everyone has the ability to be an asshole.
Yeah, but the thing about like Sean, he came to my wedding and my dad was like, Matt McCorkle, what a nice guy. Like everyone that like my wife loves him, like friends that know them, he'll go out of his way to be nice to people. Like if I was like Sean, man, I need a ride to Mexico tomorrow. I feel like Sean would come over and give me a lift to Mexico. He's one of those fucking dudes that like he'll like be there for you. I just think that social media is not your friend. Certain people are just not good at social media.
Be just where I take out some of my hidden aggression also. You know, like I usually like to find a target. Like it was Jason Reinhart for a while. It was, what's his name? Guida's brother. I can't remember the name. Jason Guida. Seems like a lot of people named Jason. but no, then Brendan Schaub. Like every now and then I got to get a target. I need an arch nemesis.
Your Honor, I rest my case.
Okay. Yeah. At what point do you no longer need an arch nemesis? By the way, how was your Thanksgiving, Sean? What did you do?
We went to my brother's house, man. It was really good. One of my favorite ones in a long time. Mostly because not very many people came, so I didn't have to pretend like I was there. Like, oh, hi, Uncle Bob. It's great to see you. Like, you know, like I don't know, listen to their stories and stuff. But that went different than I planned on. Luckily, none of them listened to this. But I was able to network with some of my family and get them fake COVID vaccination cards. So that works out.
There you go.
I'm just joking. I would never have access to such a thing.
Sure. Greg.
I feel like you got a lockbox full of them.
And Greg, what about you?
It was, you know, it was a very Hollywood Thanksgiving for the wife and I. We went over to, we have these friends who are musicians who have this, you know, they're very successful. They produce a lot of hits for a lot of pop artists. And they have a big house over in the Mount Washington area. And so we went over there, although it's a lot of musicians. And so I grew up in Texas. And, there were at least, I would say, a dozen vegetarian vegan options.
Oh, God.
In Texas, the closest thing we got to a vegetarian option was the white meat. So, I mean, it's not the food selection that I'm really accustomed to.
Oh, God.
But it was all very good, and it was all, you know, it was all fantastic. The company was fantastic. Everyone was awesome, and it was a great time. And, you know, we love those friends of ours very closely. And so it was – so overall, it was really great. I've never seen the flag. They had little flags with the letter V on it. Sticking out of like most of the items, and I was like, are these virgins? What is this? Okay, so
my wife's family is like super Christian. I mean, her Trump supporter, guns, you know, anti.
By the way, those two things are not they're not mutually exclusive. Okay, not all super Christians support Trump and own guns.
But it's funny because they're like her grandma's Mexican, Trump supporter, born again Jesus, born again Christian, and at my daughter's birthday, she was there. And she asked my friend Glozell, she goes, can I talk to you, Glozell? And the grandma goes, she goes, sure. She goes, how do we get Adam to find Jesus? This is what they're talking about at my 3-year-old's birthday party. How do we get me to find Jesus, right? But this time it was okay. I mean, they're really nice, beautiful, you know, they're really nice people, but they're just funny. Like Tori Spelling was at my kid's birthday party, Tori and Dean and like their kid. And then, you know, I was like, hey, this is my great, this is, you know, Violet's great grandma, blah, blah, blah. And Tori's like, I want you to be my great grandma, you know, like just being nice. But then I got a call 3 weeks later from her. Like, Adam, can I have Tori Spelling's phone number? Because she said she wanted me to be her like grandmother. And I'm like, absolutely, there's no way.
Absolutely not. That is not exactly like she was just being nice.
Like that's the last thing they need, right? They have enough issues with their own family. They don't need our issues. But it was fun though. It was nice. We saw like deer and I had a dog and it was nice. But like, you know, Anthony Clark used to have a joke. Like if you have one day to live, go to, I don't know, something Hickory, North Carolina, because that one day will feel like 27 years.
Yeah.
And there was a lot to that. There was a lot of like, oh my God, this is like kind of like Groundhog Day. a lot of that.
My wife tells me when we get around my family, I get this look on my face and she recognizes it. And that means that I'm just like mentally just waiting for it to be over. And it's like this smile I get, just kind of like a.
Yeah. No.
Like, yeah, okay. Uh-huh, yeah. And it just glazes on my face until we get the fuck out of there.
I like know that look. I've been there. Now, we have to talk about the fight, the Triller card that went on over there.
Adam knows that look from women he slept with.
I was about to say, here's McCorkle, the look that McCorkle's family gets when he shows up.
Oh, yeah. 100%. I used to have a little my old Chihuahua Miles. I remember he used to bark every single night, you know, and keep up the whole thing. I remember one time I took him outside, and a lady in my who lived on my floor went, "It's him." All right, the Triller card. You guys, first of all, I don't understand what is going on with this. Okay, it was in a triangle, and they said it was like a hybrid of MMA and boxing. It was all boxing. There was no MMA.
Neither of which have a triangle. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's half of an octagon and half of a square is a triangle? Like, I don't get what's going on in the geometry.
It was crazy. So it was supposed to be MMA versus boxing, right? And Shannon Briggs had the boxing team and Rampant had the MMA team. Now, these two together are hilarious. Like, they really should remake, like, How High with those two, because they're just constantly barking at each other. And Shannon Briggs is like, you know, let's go champ, let's go champ. And he said he was mad at him because he wanted to play B.A. Baracus in the A-team, but he turned it down. And then Rampage said he could hear Shannon saying, let's
go. I love when people say they turned it down. Like, oh, did you? You turned down a major motion. What else did you have to do that you couldn't make time for a major motion? Okay, sure, you turned it down.
And then Rampage was saying he could hear him saying, let's go champ by himself when he's naked in his own room. Like, these two together are hilarious. But I got to say, all right, first of all, the Frank Mir-Pulev fight, this is like, you know, Frank Mir is 0-1 as a boxer. 0-1. This guy Pulev was 28-2, with his only losses coming to Klitschko and Anthony Joshua, right? So
we're pretty good fighters.
And he fought Joshua like 10 months ago. It wasn't like he fought him like, you know, Frank Mir was never a striker. Like, even when he was like UFC champion, it was his jiu-jitsu and a grappler. Dude, they're going to get somebody killed in this organization because there was no reason for this fight. I understand, well, Frank Mir signed up for it. Great. A lot of fighters will do a lot of stupid things, but they're going to get somebody murdered. And that's almost what happened because Dan Mergliata, this guy was, I never saw a guy more out on his feet, didn't know where he was in round one. You saw quickly, McCorkle. You know how you always talk about how you could tell the difference between a boxer and an MMA fighter? You saw those straight, quick punches that Frank Mir had no idea were coming at him. And, man, it was sad.
I want to know what Mergliata was doing. What world was he in where he let him take those extra shots and then, like, at least give him a standing eight count, something. You know what I mean? He's, like you said, going to get somebody killed, man. That was – I thought – I couldn't believe it. When I watched the replay, I kept hearing people say that he was going to get somebody killed, you know, whatever. And it was worse than I heard online. Like, it was bad, man.
And I don't understand, like – so they gave supposedly they gave Mike Perry $150,000 for his fight, right?
$250,000, I heard.
$250,000. And they gave Mir $1 million or something. And then they gave the other. It was $3 to order the event. It was $3. And that funny, but like, where are they getting this money from? Like, what? And they paid Metallica. Metallica's not doing anything for fucking cheap. I mean, what?
Oh my God.
This is like.
I think, if you want my opinion, I think they heard the UFC lost $44 million when they started. And they're like, hey, we're only down $10 million event. Let's keep going. But, yeah, it's not you can't – and you're switching the rules. But you're like, it's in a triangle one time, a boxing ring. They're burning somebody's money. I can't imagine anybody.
That's who I want to know. Whose money are they spending? Because this thing is so – you know what it is? I think it's they're spending the money, whatever they made on that first Jake Paul shit. I think that – and it also proved that they just – they tasted that money. They got addicted to it. They're like, okay, we lost Jake Paul. But we can still just do this on our own. What's to keep us from doing it on our own? You know, and then they broke out an eight ball of cocaine. And next thing you know, we've got a triangle and fucking morons. And Metallica is the highest paid act on the fighting bill.
This is going to be like the Fire Festival. You know, like you're going to see in 3 years, there's going to be all these Netflix documentaries on Triller and all these people that were like, you know, they're going to be like, well, I thought it was a great idea. And they came to this. And then, because there's no fuck for $3. I mean, people, $3.
Like, were you guys shocked? Were you shocked that Mitch Rayone lost? I watched it and I thought he won by 1 point. Like, I thought he won the first. I knew he won the second with a knockdown. It should be 10-8. And then won the third. And the other guy's up like 68-64. I'm like, where did – so he lost every round, but the round he knocked the guy down? Like, I don't understand.
I thought he did great, especially for a guy who didn't even know he was fighting until like a week before. You know, like you said, Mitch Rayone hits like a mule, right?
Yeah. It's hard, man. Real hard. You could tell he stunned that guy a couple times. Like, when he hit him, you could tell the guy was like, holy shit, because it's not orthodox, but, man, it's fast and it's hard.
Has he ever knocked you down?
That's what she said.
Yeah, he actually – one of the first times we sparred – ever, Matt had already head kicked someone when they were just boxing and knocked a guy out for 10 minutes. And it like that was like the week before he left in an ambulance because the guy didn't know they were kicking. He thought they were just boxing. And so me and Matt go to box. And when it's heavyweights, you got to take it easy when you spar, man. Like you can't hurt each other. So we're good. We're about even for the whole thing. The buzzer goes off with 10 seconds left. So I just kind of ride it out, push off, start to back up. And then he hits me with a 7-piece combo with 1 second left, full force. On all of them and dropped me, like literally dropped me. He didn't know he dropped me because I just sat down like I was tired. But yeah. I couldn't think straight for 3 days, man. Like literally for 3 days, I was cloudy. Sure, yeah, I got a really bad concussion, but after that when we started, I just
– Was it a learning experience? Were you pissed or was it like a learning experience for you?
I was too like spinning to even to be mad. Like later on, I told him – I always just tell guys when they would spar, I said, hey, if you want to fight, let's fight. If you want to spar, let's spar. But I don't want to spar if you're going to fight. You know, I said, so let me know if we're going to fight, let's get paid for it. But it's everybody. Every single dude is the same, man, 99%. They test you out first. If they're better than you, then they start lighting you up. Like, they always see if they can, you know what I mean, if they're a lot better than you, stand up. That's when they want to hit hard. That's from Tim Sylvia, Matt Mitrione, anyone good I've ever sparred with. Unless they're really, really good, then they take it easy, you know, like a pro boxer or something sometimes. But the pro boxers also know I'll whip their ass for real if they hit me hard. I've always told them, like, hey, you start hitting hard, that's fine. I'll pick you up and slam you and just beat the brakes off it, you know, so – it's every MMA fighter, man. It's ridiculous. As soon as they test you out, think they can take you, then they start hitting it 90, you know, 100%. So,
Well, and Mike Perry, he won his fight against a real boxer, but people are like, well, Mike Perry won his fight, but he fought a guy, he didn't fight a guy at the level of Pulev, a guy who's a world champion, top five in the world. You know, he fought like, I would say a good, maybe a little above journeyman fighter, and Mike Perry won, which was great. But the problem
and is... Perry boxed pro before he even started fighting MMA. So he had a couple pro fights in boxing. So I think he started out wanting to be a boxer, you know?
But Frank Mir, I mean, look, man, I you know, he's got a beautiful family, great wife. He's a really nice guy. I don't think, you know, he's a really smart guy. I used to love when he commentated for WBC. He was a great commentator. I people say he needs money. I don't know what he spent his money on. But, dude, this is not the way to do it, man. You don't need to be getting
– turns out $30,000 a fight doesn't go that far when you retire.
Yeah, I mean, but he had some big title fights. I mean, his fight versus
Brock Lesnar,
big blonde dude,
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
Brock Lesnar. That fight, their second fight, that paper, it was a pay-per-view, if I'm not mistaken. It was an incredibly. I'm sure he got very well paid. I would imagine, because that was a big headlining fight.
He said he fought Brock. They used to do the pay-per-view. I won't bore you guys with the details, but it used to be. If you were a champion, he didn't get pay-per-view the first Brock fight. The second time he did. But if you were a champion, the first 250,000 buys was UFC's. Anything over that, you would get $2 a buy. So like $1 to $2. So let's say it does 700,000 buys, which is a big pay-per-view. You're still getting under $1 million, you know, for the thing. And Frank said that if he'd have won and got his bonus that night, which would have been just over $1 million, it would have been his highest payday of his career, which is crazy to think he fought Brock Lesnar twice and fought Crow Cop as the main event. I mean, he had several main events of pay-per-views, you know, just.
But he also went to crazy. Bellator, and I know Bellator was giving out some pretty big deals. So he went to Bellator. Dude, that Brock Lesnar, I remember watching that with my dad. It was one of the first fights I ever watched with my dad, and first UFC fights. And he was just like, he got the living shit beaten out of him. And my dad was like, he went to his corner, and they were like, my dad was like, what are they going to say, good job? Like, I never saw a guy get put in a hard headlock. And just
boom, 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 boom.
But what's crazy was like,
dude, his face looked like ground beef when he stood up, and you couldn't see it for the most time. Like you saw it when it went under, and then you saw it when it came up, and you were like, "Well, that's what I thought it would look like based on what just happened."
But then the countdown special before that was like, Frank was like, "I know things in jiu-jitsu that Brock hasn't even learned yet." Like he was all like really proud of his jiu-jitsu, and then all Brock did was put him in a fucking schoolyard headlock, and it was like
totally and just like, beat his face.
Like when you're that strong as Brock, like I honestly think that there are certain guys on certain nights where no one can beat him. Like I think that when like Mike Tyson fought Mike Tyson Spinks, like when he knocked him out in 90 seconds, I don't think there's a heavyweight on the planet that ever could have beaten Mike Tyson that night. Okay, and I think with Brock Lesnar that night was unbeatable because it was before he got diverticulitis and he got kind of exposed with the striking and yada yada yada. I mean, he just put the dude in the headlock and was just that was crazy. I mean, it was
one of my favorite fights of all time.
I was like,
it really made me a huge Brock Lesnar fan.
You would have really loved the fight the other night if you enjoyed that, Greg. You'd have loved the thriller fight with Mir.
I'm looking at some of the images, man. It doesn't look good.
That was the same night that Bisping got knocked out by Hendo. It was the same. That was the same card where Dan Henderson flatlined Michael Bisping. That was
UFC 100, right?
Yeah, that was one of the best UFCs I've ever seen. It was an amazing UFC. By the way, all right, a couple other things.
How was Metallica?
I didn't even see them. I was doing a show at the HaHa, so I was watching it. I was hosting, so I was watching it in between going on and off. I had just my daughter wanted we saw Sing 2. We had sneak peek tickets, which was actually really good.
That's fun.
Sing 2. Before that, I went to this like world's largest bounce house. So I'm like watching Thriller while watching Sing 2. I'm like, it's the exact opposite. I'm watching like fighting in a thing while I'm watching a Disney movie, basically, or Pixar, whatever it is. And
you know, I turned down a role in that Sing 2. it was like one of the extra roles. Roles. It was like Brendan Schaub hater number one, and it was me. Everyone else.
Then I went to a party right afterwards at Jonathan Sadowski, who's a pretty big actor. He's been in a lot of things. Real nice guy. He trains He's a friend of mine. He's my wife loves him because she loves this one show called, I think it's Young and Hungry on Netflix. And she loves Young and Hungry, and it's a big show. And Jonathan was like one of the stars on it, and yada yada. So I go there, and Jesse Jess was there. It was cool seeing Jess was at the party. And then Jalen Turner, who goes by the Tarantula, who's 10-5, really good fighter. He's got a fight coming up. He's like 1-3 in a row. And they call him the Tarantula because he has 100 tarantulas. Like he has like pet. He's this like tall black dude, 6'1" black guy with a tarantula. I told him he should knock people out and just like put them on the people, you know, like in WWE, you know, like they Jake the Snake, like a fucking snake. But he was telling me all kinds of stories about fighting. And then Hans Molenkamp was there. You know Hans? So Hans is like the main guy from Monster. He's this guy that like Monster Energy. He's the guy that Dominic Cruz called out. So Dominic Cruz won his fight, his last fight. And they go, who do you want to fight? And he said, the guy from Monster, like the, because he has screwed him on some kind of deal. But the guy's like, you know, 6'3".
Oh, he screwed him all right.
But he's not even a fighter. Like I think he's like an amateur kickboxer or something. But he makes these stupid videos where like, which I thought they were stupid. But somebody's drinking like a coffee or a drink, and then he kicks another guy's hand. And people are like annoyed because they're drinking a coffee, and he goes up behind you and just kicks.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about this guy. Yeah.
So I asked him, I was like, so I'm sitting there with Jalen and him, and Jalen has a drink, and I'm like, you're not going to kick it out of his hand, right? And it was like, he was laughing. But then I was like, hey, why did Dominic Cruz call you out? And he goes, dude, I guess him and Dominic are like, they're friends, but they're frenemies or whatever. He said that his phone would not stop ringing. Like Cruz wins his fight. Imagine like you get called out, like you're watching a fight. He's like, I'm watching a fight. I think he's going to say TJ Dillashaw. And he calls me. He's just like, that's your fault.
I heard a rumor that Dominic Cruz said if that dude keeps talking shit, somebody's gonna end up getting their dick sucked.
Like I defend them.
Can't stop, won't stop.
And then the YouTube comments are like, Adam wants to fuck Dominic Cruz. Like, so I'm not even gonna fucking Dominic is a funny guy though, because he's always like, he's one of these dudes that like I told you when I did a sketch with him. And he goes, I don't find this funny. This is really stupid. But let's just get this over with. Like that's what he said. Like I'm like, all right, we're up to a really good start. He's just moody all the time. And there's one girl, Aspen Ladd, missed weight because of her period, right? She claims she had her period. So I go, that's bullshit. Dominic has his period for the last 7 years. And I fucking texted it to him. He's like, I love this. So he's a good sport, fucking. I don't know if he's gonna want you calling him a homosexual the entire time. Anyway.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
By the way,
it's a compliment.
By the way, this breaking news, guys. The Island Boys had their first live show, and they got booed.
They should have done it in a triangle.
Do you guys, Greg? Do you want to see what happened?
Absolutely do. I must see this.
All right. So,
by the way, Adam, I want to thank you so much for introducing these guys to me because that's all I see them.
Yeah. Right.
So okay, hold on. So the people are booing. Yeah, so it didn't go very well.
What's with the – why isn't there music behind them? Like, they're just shouting.
I guess they were doing a cappella.
You know what's next for them? They might end up headline a Thriller pay-per-view.
You're right about that. Oh, my God. You know what, though? I mean, but they could take that to, like, Omaha, and they're going to be like, woo, oh, my God, it's the guys from TikTok. So.
You're right. They should have had a track behind under them, right? I mean, most people
are- Yes, that's so weird. Like, they get to their one bar island, and you hear a DJ kind of... It's like, where's the track? Where's the track? You don't just... Nobody raps a cappella unless it's like that one moment at the end of the song where the beat drops off, and you just got to rap, you know? What idiot! See, and this is why you don't try and translate a 30-second performance into a 30-minute performance.
But I got to admit, if they were playing like down the block, I would walk over to watch them. Like, you wouldn't to see what would happen? No?
If they were playing for free and they had an In-N-Out truck giving away free food, then I would walk down there too.
You know, he said, one of them said, you told me, I think he sold his soul to the devil. And he said,
yeah, what is that? What is this rumor? What is this?
He actually said on a live stream, he said he sold his soul to the devil and told the devil that he would give him his soul if he made him like rich, famous, and talented. And so I don't think the devil's holding up his end of the deal.
Not at all. Yeah.
If I would like, I'd talk to an attorney about that if I was him. I'd be like, listen, where's the talent in this soul? You know,
well, I think that's their loophole to get out.
Right.
He's like, hey, listen. You may be rich and famous. Actually, they may not even get rich. I'm sure they'll get rich off it somehow. But going around doing these live shows, they should be able to make a little bit of money. I mean, just that'd be great if it just becomes a thing to go boo them in person.
It really, it could be like the Blues Brothers, where they have a cage in front of them or something. People can throw shit at them.
Yeah.
They got to, like, you know, figure something out.
I heard that's what they're installing at Brendan Schaub shows now.
I'm an island boy. I mean, you just don't, you know, you just don't go to level 10. You got to take all the steps, you know?
So
everyone's TikTok is such a shortcut, but it doesn't mean you're going to be any good once you get the actual stage.
So Tyron Woodley says he's fighting next year in four different types of fighting.
Whoa. Oh my God. That's right. This is an MMA podcast.
He's probably not going to throw a punch at any of them.
I was going to say, yeah. Are any of those mental battles? Because that's the only thing you think you're going to have Tyrone throwing in any fight.
At least one of them is going to be a rap battle.
He says you're going to see me fight multiple times for different promotions, four different styles of fighting. I'm going to be the first one to do it. And then everyone else is going to follow behind like they always do. One of them is going to be MMA in July in Las Vegas.
First question I have is, what has he done that everybody else has followed and done? Because I'm sure MMA had been around before him and after him by quite a bit. So I don't know. Where's the? Was it the R&B song?
I like Tyron a lot. He's got to figure out how to pull the trigger or something. Like, just work cardio, exclusively cardio, right, Sean? I mean, he's got the power.
Dude, I'm nobody to give advice on cardio, but Tyron Woodley looked supernatural, you know, 7 to 8 years ago, man. But it's just sometimes when it's over, man. And I don't and what's crazy is I think he's in the shape to fight. He just has that mental block where he won't fight aggressively, or maybe some guys think they're winning. I always felt like I was losing, usually because I was. But I always felt like I was, like, losing that fight no matter how much I was dominating. But some guys always think they're winning no matter what happens. Like, they always think they're winning.
Your record was 23-5 or something? What was your record?
20-7.
You were not always losing. You lost seven fights.
20 wins, man. That's something.
And four of your last fights, or five, you lost like four in a row, and those were all bullshit fights for the most part. So you really were like 20-2 when you actually tried.
That's what I like to tell myself.
I mean, honestly, like, you actually trained for what? Like, the last four fights you didn't even train for.
No, the last, last five, literally not even a day. I couldn't. It just hurt too much, man. I couldn't do it. It was but it's also it turns out if you take a deal in Japan to make 30 or 40 grand, they only give you 15. I never would have taken a fight on 24 hours notice if I known I was only getting $15,000. They're like, yeah, we'll give you 30. And I'm like, cool. So I get there and they count it out after the fight. It's 15. And I'm like, no, it was 30. And all of a sudden they don't speak English anymore. And they're like, what? Like, and I'm like, no, $30,000. Right, yeah. And I was actually going to, I got a place in Australia to pay me by one time because I was going to go on Ariel Helwani's MMA Hour. And I'd lost to Soa Pulele in Australia, and the guys didn't want to pay me my last $3,000. So I told them I was going to get on Errol's show and say that they tried to have sex with me, and I wouldn't do it. So they said they weren't paying me the $3,000, and that they had paid me to lose to Soa Pulele, who was also their client, like they managed him. And so I had my money in 2 hours. They wired the money. And I was going to do the same thing to the guys in Japan, but Monty Cox, my agent, told me I would end up dead within the week if I said that the owners of the place, yeah, I fought, it was that guy Inoki that fought Muhammad Ali back then, yeah, wrestled him. He's the one that owned it. He said he's real mixed up with the Yakuza, and I would be dead inside a week if I started saying things like that about him being,
yeah, you don't want to fuck up.
Dead or paying to lose. Now, so
the first Pujanowski fight, did you train for that one?
That one, I think, was on like 11 or 12 days notice. They tried to pay me to lose. They asked me if I could keep the fight interesting, and I said the fight will be what it is, you know. And they're like, well, can you try to, like, make it last in the second round? I said, I can't promise you anything. They're like, well, what would it be worth you to try to make it go? You know, he's a big star for us, this and that. And I was like, unless you're talking life-changing money and the mid to high six figures, I'm not interested in carrying anybody, because I knew what they meant. You know what I mean? That they wanted him to win. And I was like, they're like, oh, no, because they're only paying me 10 and I mean, $12,000. It wasn't very much for the Pudzianowski fight. But yeah, it was like an 8 or 9 days notice.
And how much did you actually – so you only trained for 9 days for that fight?
Yeah, and like four of that was travel, or five, so I only had like 4 or 5 days to,
amazing,
to do anything.
You beat the world's strongest man for 4 days of training.
Yeah, and I hadn't trained for a long time before that, man. Like anything, back was really, really bad. So
Diego Sanchez has COVID, and he's in really, really bad shape. He's got blood clots. He looks like he's on a ventilator. I mean, he looks like
terrible
fucking shape. And, you know, I guess he had it a week ago, and he said he was, like, beating it. He's like, oh, I got COVID, blah, blah, blah. And people, like you said, you take the vaccine. And he said, I'm not sold on the vaccine yet. Well, I guess it came back a lot worse. So he looks terrible. And, you know, so, prayers to Diego Sanchez. I hope you get better. I'm sure he's going to beat COVID. I know he will. But people on his Instagram are like, should have took the vaccine, smarten up, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, not the fucking time. The guy's in the hospital, clearly in shape. Not the time to lecture somebody on should have took the vaccine, or maybe next time you'll be smarter and this and that. I don't know. I have a problem with that. Like, I have a problem with people like really? That's like, it's like, I told you so, or blah, blah, blah. Or, like, you don't think, like, the guy's fighting for his fucking life, and now you want to be take the moral high ground and just kind of rub it in? I don't know. It's kind of a shitty fucking thing to do, in my personal opinion. Greg?
Listen, I totally, absolutely agree with that. You know what I mean? He's already going through it. Now's not the time to be preachy and to give him the I told you so's. But the lesson is there, and it doesn't need to be said. Yeah. You know? You can just – the lesson is obvious. You know? This is the risk. This is – you're talking about an incredibly strong fighter, and he's going through hell. And that's always been my point about all this, because people love to talk about, you know, the survival rate. The survival rate is, okay, right, but surviving doesn't mean it wasn't horrific. But doesn't mean you went through an incredibly horrific experience right on the way there to your survival. But you know, these long haulers really deal with some serious shit. And so I think and that's the thing. The lesson's baked in, and you either see it or you don't. And if you don't want to see it, nothing, any comment on the bottom is going to change your mind, you know?
Sean? What's funny is they didn't tell him so. No one knew if he was vaccinated or not, but people want to jump on back. I told you to get it, like as if they're talking to Diego Sanchez on a regular basis. Hey, get vaccinated. Like, it's just, if people are something else, man. It's, I don't know. People are something else. I'm just glad.
Listen, comments, Twitter comments in general, I think is the great failure of the internet. I really do. People's ability to just be assholes and say whatever they want anonymously, you know, it fuck off. No, you know, I agree with creating content and putting content out there. I agree with maybe thumbs up, thumbs down, but the ability to comment, I think, is the great failure of the internet.
Yeah. I just think that's just real shitty. I mean, and then I wanted to comment back, like, hey, leave the fucking guy alone. He's obviously struggling enough, you fucking. But then all of a sudden, I'll be placed into the anti-vaxxer fucking category. Oh, so you're not. Well, now is the time to fucking tell him because he's. And I'm like, you know, I don't have time. And it's never people who you could actually see what they even look like. They always have.
Well, and not exactly. There's always some symbol. Exactly. So you don't even know the. Again, that is the thing. This ability to just anonymously say snarky, shitty things and act all holier than thou. And that's the other thing. Everybody's got some shit. Everybody's fucking up something somewhere. Don't act like everyone likes to act like they're so above blame. And I promise you, there's someone out there that fucking hates you for some shit. So it's just stupid. So
speaking of Poland, right? There's a new thing called the War. Right, it's this new fighting organization
that was about 50 years or 70.
I was gonna say, as if Poland hasn't seen enough.
I don't think this is gonna catch
up. Oh my god, this is okay. This is Roman Colosseum shit.
Finally, they answer the question, how many Polacks does it take to have an MMA fight? About like 12.
It's a gang fight. It's gang warfare.
Why are the one guys wearing masks?
They don't want COVID.
to separate them from the, I don't know.
People on the internet told them to wear it so they didn't get it.
Can we be honest? I blame Jake Paul for this.
Well, hold on. What's up, people? It is Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. Football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. Okay? BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. You got to head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code CLNS50 to receive your bonus. It's not just football, okay? BetOnline has pro and college hoops. They got NHL. They got boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
What were you saying?
I blame Jake Paul for this. He started it. He started all this bullshit.
I think this was going on before.
All this right now, pretty soon. Listen, we have gone full Roman Colosseum. Next, live from, you know, Eritrea, Africa. The guys fighting lions and throwing a gorilla in there. That's next. We're going there.
First of all, who is the girl they kept cutting away to? Like, but also, like, not the.
She's obviously married to four of those fighters.
I mean, not the time to cut away. I mean, you need like more than one camera. You got to have a split screen or something. Cause like,
I mean, it's Poland. Maybe she's the prize. They're like, whichever gang wins, get to marry Natasha. Yay.
The one guy was
short on women.
The one guy was wearing a mask, like a full on mask. I mean, is there any strategy to this thing? I mean, how do you even game plan this? You got to take out like their best guy first, right? Or something? Or like,
listen, here's how you game plan for it. You get with your homies down at your crib. You light up some blunts and and you're like, tonight may be the last night of our lives, guys. And then you go out there and you fight the other gang. That's what you do.
So what do you
I think they would have been better served to just doing a parallelogram. The way I understand it is like the shape matters so much of the cage. But no, I think on that, man, really, if you want to know strategy, I think the smartest thing is two or three on one immediately and try to get the numbers advantage. Like if you could put one guy out of commission, maybe murder him. Like, all, you know, by having everybody attack one and then just.
That's what I was wondering. I was thinking, okay, so what are the rules in terms of ganging up on a dude? Like, if you knock one guy out, is your guy now free to help you? Does it have to start out one on one? And then work its way down to gang fighting, or how does that work?
I think if a guy taps or gets knocked out, he's out of the gang fight.
I just hope the refs are better than WWE refs, because I've seen guys jump in 2-on-1 for years and never a suspension, never a fine, anything. Like that.
It looks like they're fighting in a drained above ground pool.
Dude, I mean they. There was like so much wrong there. No social distancing. It was just like five on
no five. Social distancing. Now's the time to get in the comments and be like, hey guys, if you're not vaccinated, you get what you get.
I mean, that was crazy. That I don't think that's gonna. I think that if that comes to the U.S., there's gonna be people gonna have a problem with that.
Oh, yeah.
I can't see people.
I mean, as it is,
they had one for a while, man. They had one they tried to talk me into doing that was team MMA, but with an obstacle course between you. So you had to like run up a ramp and punch somebody or jump off like some sort of pummel horse. It's still online somewhere. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Like you had to run around an obstacle course while fighting each other. Sounds like an idea I would have, but it didn't work out for very long.
I feel like Metallica should have played.
Wait a minute. So you were on American Gladiator?
It was legit American Gladiator. They were really trying to – they offered me something like $3,000 to do it. I was like, dude, I wouldn't fight anyone for $3,000, let alone run an obstacle course.
Dude, I went
like, to – that's way too much.
Were you Nitro?
I went to this.
You look like you could have been an American Gladiator. You would have been great on that show. We gotta bring it back.
Me and my wife and Violet went to this like bounce house thing, the world's biggest bounce house, the pop up bounce house, and they had one.
Yeah, that looked really cool.
And they had one of those American Gladiators things where you like jump from like five, and then it's like. So I tried doing it. Like there was like a bunch of 4-year-olds doing it, and I wiped out so bad. Like I fell right on my head and sort of like rolling around, and my wife was just like this, like this was like, and I'm like, no, I'll do it again. And then fucking like, I'm like, I got it done this time. She's like, oh, sure you did. It was terrible. Greg, what are you doing?
I'm reading Diego's what he wrote on Twitter or whatever.
He's writing a message to Diego telling him he told him so.
Exactly. I'm like, dude, get ready. Get ready to fight in the Omicron.
Oh, God.
That's the new the new shape. Second. Oh, my God. How did it go from Delta to Omicron?
If I think it's too far, it's really bad. That was pretty rough.
By the way, Max Griffin, who I have a shirt, by the way, big fan of him. He's one of these guys. I think he's a little into conspiracies, but he's convinced that the Omicron came out this first day that the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, that like is to distract everybody from that.
Oh my God.
I heard it came from Cybertron when Starscream and Megatron came.
You know what? Yours is closer to believable, to be honest. these people and their desire to see, whatever. It's so silly.
So,
and that's the other thing. How does that affect your life? Just go away. Everyone, just go live your life. Everybody go back to work. How about that? Everybody get a job, go back to work, and we don't have to deal with this shit anymore.
By the way, we never found out what Don Fry did for Thanksgiving. Don Fry Jr.
Hey, what did I do? Really? I can walk now, so I walk door to door collecting pussies.
Really?
That's right. I was like, I'm Don Fry. Get the fuck out of my way. I'm here to get those turkeys. And then books and pussy.
Wow.
I ate 3.5 turkeys and 19 pussies.
Dude, the one time he told us that his ex-wife, he went to the guy's house and the guy was a transsexual or something. Like, what was he saying? That the guy was a trans? He showed up at the house. And remember he was telling us the story where he like.
Yes.
It just got really strange. The story took a couple weird turns. What did Hector Lombard Jr. do at Thanksgiving?
I tell you what I had. I eat all the sheep. Everybody's the sheep. I eat all the sheep. I eat them and I base them in the blood of the elites.
Wow.
And the blood of the elites, I base the sheep, and that's what we have for the turkey bird.
Well, it sounds like a good Thanksgiving. That sounds amazing.
Sounds like Hector Lombard. That's what it sounds like.
All right. So this week, by the way, Bellator. And Sergio Pettis is fighting Horiguchi. Horiguchi is obviously an amazing fighter, one of the best in the world, very underrated fighter. Didn't have a great fight stint in the UFC, but great fighter. He was their one champ, then he lost, and he won. And he's fighting Sergio Pettis, I think, for the belt. Great fight here. Did you know Sergio at all? Sean, like around
what? No, I met him once now, but that was it, just other than that. He fought at back when regional shows were still a thing. He fought in one in Indianapolis, and that's when I first started training. Met him and Anthony, but just for a couple seconds.
By the way, your boy, the Monkey God, won. Fucking got a stoppage. Really?
Who did?
Jared Brooks, the Monkey God. Jared Brooks.
Oh yeah, yeah. That little guy. You know, he's a phenomenal wrestler, man.
Yeah. Also, Kyle Crutchmer, who was an OSU stud wrestler, coming off a loss, and then he won his last fight. They were booing him because he was a lot of like kind of he was using his, I think he did the right thing. A lot of times wrestlers lose and then they want to come back and they kind of go back into striking, or they want to be strikers again. They lose again, where he went right back to his wrestling. He got comfortable. He got a comfortable, boring win and he got the W, and that's all that matters, versus like sometimes people want to put on a great show and they get two losses in a row and then whatever. Also, Spike Carlisle, you know, that guy, that maniac. He's this like redheaded jack dude that was in the UFC. His cardio was pretty bad, but then he did bare knuckle MMA for a little bit. Now he's in Bellator. He's fighting Hitman Dan Moret, who's a really good fighter, also in the military. That should be a good fight. That's on the Bellator prelims.
Sounds like he's trying to follow in Tyron Woodley's footsteps by fighting four different kinds of fighting in 1 year. He started that, remember?
By the way, so we never talked about Misha Tate. Misha Tate, during her fight, did one of those check the oil things. Well, it looked like it against Caitlin.
Yeah, mid-fight finger bang.
It was one of those things where you could, like, take your thumb and put it up the person's butt and use it as, like, an anchor, kind of, and spin around. That's what it looked like happened. So I posted, you know, Misha Tate's OnlyFans is out of control or well worth it. Got lots of likes. Caitlin Vieira posted on it today. The girl whose butt, she read, oh, my God, and then smiley face. So even though the girl who got her thumb up her butt commented on it. So it was like, you know, I'm bringing the whole world together.
Listen, she is an oil checker. She carried her like a six-pack.
I heard that she was also during the fight.
What's that?
Oh, my God, and smiled. I don't know.
Have you ever put your thumb up your butt, Greg, or no?
I'm sure, yeah.
Like, on purpose, or?
Possibly.
Sean?
I mean, have you never put your thumb up a woman's ass? I mean, it has to have happened at some point, right?
Only when I was fighting them. But, no, my thumb is like the size of most people's fists, so that probably wouldn't be a
good
idea.
That's true. Mine's a comfortable ride. My thumb just slips right in and out. It's like a thief of the night.
Got it. So, also in the UFC this week, Rob Font. I take it back. I think he's gonna beat Aldo. He's in like a 5-fight winning streak. Dude hasn't lost since like 2018. I think everyone's overlooking Rob Font. He's coming off some big wins. Big win over Cody Garbrandt. He like wrecked Cody Garbrandt. That's the Saturday night. I'm picking Rob Font. You're picking Aldo, right, McCorkle?
No, I'll probably pick Font. Man, I try to pick the younger guy, and I'm convinced Aldo's at least 49 years old at this point. So. I think in MMA, a lot of times it pays to pick the younger guy that's up and coming, man. It seems like UFC knows how to match guys exactly to get the results they want most of the time. And you're always getting an aging guy versus a young monster, you know? So it's like how they,
these guys, they become, you know, stepping stones, proving, guys, you know what I mean? That's what they, and I think they're aware of that too. I mean, they don't accept it. They're aware of it. And they try and go out there and spoil the rise of some young stud that they're trying to, you know, prove as the next guy.
Well, man, that's what happened to me, except the reverse. When they offered me my fight, my first one, they didn't tell me who I was fighting. And I said, well, I don't want to sign until I know who I'm fighting. They're like, it'll be another guy's first fight in the UFC. And I was like, okay, well, as long as they're the first timer. And then I found out they were bringing Mark Hunt over, and I was who they were going to feed Mark Hunt to. And then my agent tried to spin it. Oh, no, they're trying to get, because he's old, they think you'll beat him. And, like, actually, we're the same age, number one. And number two, like, they don't think I'm going to beat him. I'm an 8-1 betting underdog. So no one thought I was going to beat him, you know. So, yeah, my whole thing was I was afraid I was going to get served up to somebody they were trying to build, and that's exactly what happened. But
so we got to talk, by the way, about our friends over at McDojo Life, who came on the podcast before. Nice guy. They're into exposing fake MMA people, fake MMA gurus. This dude, I've never seen anything like this before. I want to get your thoughts on this. Sean and Greg, hold on.
Wait, I can tell just from the thumbnail, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
All right, so here we go. Ready?
I love that you hear the other person back and go, okay.
That reminded me a lot of an ISIS video, but with a different ending.
I mean, how do these guys get jobs? I mean, how did he know that someone had a knife? He just went like this.
I was going to say, it's real convenient if you can feel it and know it's coming. The guy screams right before he does. But if somebody's just going to stab you.
What I was thinking. I'm like, wow. I love the way he had him put on a mask, too. Like, now he doesn't know that the guy he hired and paid and directed is coming. He's a sneak attack with the
That's
mask.
That's almost as ridiculous as thinking it would prevent COVID.
and the camera, and the he didn't tell the camera guy to come and post it. Yeah, it just the whole thing. But they're doing great work over there at McDojo Life. I mean, that's insane. That is insane.
And we have had that guy on the show, haven't we? I remember now. Yeah, I remember this guy.
Nice guy. Clay Guida.
Oh, I thought you meant the guy that was fighting the knife guy. I was like, how did I miss that episode?
No. Yeah, it's the guy that runs McDojo Life. Yeah. He was cool.
Yeah. Also, Michael Cape is fighting this week. He was murdering people over, I think, in Ryzen. His first two fights, he didn't do well in the UFC, but his last fight, he finally is doing what he did over in Ryzen. This is a good fight. And then Clay Guida is taking on Santos. I like Santos. Although Clay did pretty good his last fight. Remember that guy that was like the judo guy, the Greco-Roman wrestler that was like an Olympian from Finland? I thought Clay won. It was like it was a bad decision, I thought. Let's run down. We actually ran down the card last time, though, so I don't want to do this all over again.
Jim Crute, Jamal Hall Hill, or you know what I'm talking about.
By the way, so Jaden Cox, you know who Jaden Cox is? I think it's Jadon Cox. Jadon. It's like J, like exclamation point, D-O-N. Jadon, I don't know how to.
Listen, you've done an excellent effort, and I think that's what's important.
All right, the guy is a silver medalist wrestler, amazing, like national champion wrestler, just a stud wrestler, this guy. So he's training with John Jones, right? And both of them posted on Instagram. And this dude, like, I got to say, this takedown this guy did, I was floored. You know, I'm a huge wrestling fan. Obviously, I wrestled, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But he – you guys see this.
That's right. Eighth grade state champ 3 years in a row.
All right. First of all, four-time Class A New England champion. All right. So here, let me see if I can blow. I don't know if I can blow this one up.
Give it away, secret.
All right. So here's Jay. Here's John Jones. Look at this, Sean.
I know there's a lot of dancing around. Where's the rest of them?
Watch. Look how slick this guy is. I mean, that was so damn quick against John Jones. I mean, obviously there's levels to that, but Sean, you weren't impressed?
Not only did about wrestling, but that's kind of moves you'd expect for somebody whose second letter of their name is a exclamation point, because that's what you said, I think. I'm not sure that that's true, but I would love to see someone whose second letter is an exclamation point.
You know what that meant.
Apostrophe? I thought you meant exclamation point. I was like, I gotta see. Oh,
apostrophe. Apostrophe. I'm an idiot. Apostrophe.
And the correct pronunciation would have been J. Don.
I'm an idiot. I'm saying, I meant apostrophe. Fuck. Yeah, I know. You know what I meant. I meant fuck.
I didn't. I thought his name was actually an exclamation point. I was like, this guy's awesome.
Yeah, he's like Elon Musk.
Jada!
No, Greg. The emphasis is on J.
Yes.
No exclamation point.
Jada!
You know what I meant. All right. So, by the way, so what are you guys doing on New Year's Eve? Let's talk about that.
I will be in El Paso where you just were at the El Paso comic strip. That's what I'm doing. Nice.
By the way, I was there with Aldo, right? And like Aldo's the funniest. So Aldo's one of my best friends, Aldo. You know, he's like, he's in late 50s, 60s, early 60s, but he looks great. So he was on his Tinder, right? So I was looking at his Tinder and this one woman he matched with was probably like in her 60s or 70s, like spoke no English, right? And he's like, hey, you want to hang out? She's like, I got my grandkids. And then she's like, I'm in surgery, I have an ulcer, and then he writes back, nothing a little sex wouldn't cure.
Turns out an ulcer doesn't get cured by sex, but nevertheless.
Yeah. In fact, it may aggravate it.
Nothing a little sex. I was dying. I was like, dude, that work? Obviously not. She left the chat after that. But I was like, I thought that was really, really funny. Sean, what are you doing New Year's Eve?
Well, my girlfriend really, really wanted to go to a stand-up comedy show for New Year's this year. So I bought tickets to a Brandon Schaub show and told her we'll go to a comedy show next year. So we're doing what I want this year.
There it is. What is that? I think that's two today, only two.
Your options are limited when you won't wear a mask or get vaccinated, even with a fake vaccine card. So.
Now, it says that you can be have a religious exemption, but what religion do you not have to get a shot? Can you be exempt for it?
I just claim to be Amish. Like, I don't know, what the rules are, but it seems like they went.
Yeah, down. You could claim Amish or one of those, you know, the, I think maybe Church of Christ Scientist or Science? Scientist? I think they don't believe in going to doctors, even though that's the name of
the irony.
I know. I swear to God.
The science isn't settled, Greg. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So why
would you? They're saying that Jesus is science.
But why wouldn't you just say that? Why wouldn't you just say that you're a Christian scientist? And
I don't have the education for it. No, because you have to, like, your exemptions, they don't let you have exemptions. Like, if you're going to a concert, let's say, or going to, you know what I mean, or whatever, you just, like, that's only, like, for your job or whatever. Like, you can't just say, oh, yeah, I'm a scientist. Like, you know, but I really do have a card. I got vaccinated. I really do have a card, so I can get anywhere I want or fly or anything like that. I was just teasing. But, yeah, I don't know. This year and a half away from everybody, especially living out on my puppy mill, has kind of made me even more antisocial than before, man. Like, it's my girlfriend and I went out the other night to a casino, and it was weird being around people again in that kind of group. I was really busy on Saturday night. It's so funny. I had a couple guys I used to do jiu-jitsu with come up and, like, recognize me and talk to me. And I had a funny story about that. Can't remember to save my life. So never mind. Something really funny.
You look good, though, man. You look like you lost 20. You lost
some
weight.
Dude, I am actually exercising like crazy and eating no carbs and really eating right. I'm going to get, I don't know, I probably shouldn't put my medical information out there, but when I went to the doctor, I did my blood work and it wasn't the best. So, you know, he started talking about, you know, you're going to be pre-diabetic if you don't get healthy. And I was like, that's it for me. As much as I'd like to have a foot cut off before I die, I think I'm just going to lose, you know, 60 pounds and be in shape, man. So,
please, man, because that would be really sad. If anything happened to you, honestly, it would be really, really sad.
Like, well, my dad was diabetic. I have a brother that's diabetic. So I was pretty much rolling the dice anyway, you know what I mean, by not doing it. But no, I'm done, man. I really have reached my break point. I'm not being fat and out of shape anymore. You'll be really amazed probably the next time you see me.
Greg, what was the worst?
Especially if I'm laughing at a Brendan Schaub show.
Greg, what was the shocking. Greg, what was the worst New Year's you ever had?
Worst New Year's? Jeez. I don't know. Probably just something where nothing. I don't remember. Most of mine have been, you know, doing shows, and I always enjoyed that. So, I mean, probably, you know, before I started being a comedian, so sometimes, you know, like in high school and shit, we didn't have shit to do.
Dude, the worst was I was in Mexico with this, like, I was at Senior Frogs or something, and, like, this hot girl wanted to hook up. Like, it was, like, I think the club called La Boom. I think it was, like, in Cancun, Mexico. La Boom was the big club. And I was, like, making out with her. And she's like, hey, why don't you come back to my place? And I she was, like, basically just telling me she was going to bang. But my sister, I was there with my sister.
Sounds like it.
My older sister. Yeah. And she's like, you can't leave. You can't leave by yourself. I have to leave with you, right? And then I was like, oh. So then I got her number or something. And then my sister left without me. She couldn't find me. So then I got, like, I think she took the rent a car or something. So then I had to walk back to the hotel by myself after not getting laid. Then I ate by accidentally, like, I started the next morning. I woke up and it was like 112 out or something, and I was shivering, freezing. And I had 105 temperature. I ate feces, like, I literally ate like feces in some food or something. I had to go to some Mexican hospital, they had to pump my stomach. The Mexican hospital was like one bedroom, one room with some lady that didn't even speak English, and I was just shitting in a fucking can the whole time. And my dad was drunk. Because he didn't want to be with my stepmom, like, so he was like way too wasted, and plus I was.
He's drunk because he has a son that eats feces. That's why I would have been drunk.
It was like
son eating his own poop. I don't know what's going on.
Then I was like literally trying to stay sober because my wrestling team was like, we made a commitment to stay sober, otherwise I'd have to come back to my high school and do push-ups, wake up at 5:30 and do a workout every day and not talk to anybody. And my dad's shoving beer in my face, like, come on, have some, trying to get me to drink. Yes, that was probably my worst New Year's.
That sounds bad.
My worst New Year's was about 3 years ago. My dad died, so that made it a little tough. It wasn't exactly New Year's. It was like 8 months before, but it was still still resonating at New Year's. So I'm just messing with you. My dad's dead. But I'm just
by the way, Sean, anytime anyone says, like, we're on a group text chat, anytime I write, like, happy holidays, you're like, oh, it'd be nice if my dad wasn't dead. Sean always puts back, by the way, on this text chat. No matter what the thing's about.
I love Father's Day now because I can put that all over Facebook. Everybody check the picture with your dad. Like, yeah, don't take it for granted. Like, it's just on and on.
What's your biggest botched pussy story, Greg?
I'm sorry, my what?
Your biggest botched pussy. Like, you had pussy lined up and then you fucking dropped the ball.
Oh, God, that is a 3,000-way tie for first. When I was dating, my move was fumble at the goal line. Like, if I had a girl online and everything was going, I'd find a way to fuck it up. I would say something stupid or do something. My biggest mistake was always, let's have one more shot, you know? And then one more, and then bleh, bleh, and I'm like, and there it goes. Bye, bye, pussy. That was awesome. Damn it. Fuck.
Yeah.
So I always found a way to fuck it up. I really, that was definitely my move. Fumbling at the goal line was a Wilson special.
Dude, I was in Little Rock, Arkansas, and these two girls, like, were sisters, who'd both been cheated on, and they wanted to hook up, like, hot sisters. And they're basically like, we'll take you back to our place. So I was like, all right, come back to my condo, the comedy condo. And the fucking feature guy, who used to be the headliner, like, I worked with him before, and he was the headliner, and we, like, swapped, basically, like, 2 years later, I was the headliner. He's like, yeah, man, you can't come back to my place because the comedy condo, because I have my computer there. I'm like, dude, I've seen your jokes. Nobody wants them. You know, like, I'm bringing these girls back. He's like, no, man, I'm going to tell the club owner. Because it said, like, can't bring guests back to the comedy condo. So I'm like, all right. So I was going to get a hotel, but my phone was dead. So I'm like, girls, follow me to the hotel. And I lost them. And it was, like, raining. And that was, yeah, that was one. I realized how much I botched it because I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I was trading at, like, Gerald Harris's gym, and my tooth fell out. I had a flipper. I had a fake tooth in, and I lost the flipper. So I had, like, no tooth, right? Like, my front tooth was gone, right? And my dad's like, well, you're fitting great in Tulsa, right? So I was like, I met a girl off Tinder. We matched, and I went to her back to her place afterwards. But she didn't know I had no tooth. So the whole time I'm drinking, like, I have a beer bottle in front. Like, I'm talking.
I just thought you were an alcoholic.
Yeah, and I'm saying, like, three words. Like, I'm like, yeah, Dude, I got laid in, like, 9 minutes. Like, because I'm saying nothing.
Saying nothing.
Like, yeah,
exactly.
Like, man, it was the quickest.
It was the lesson I refused to learn.
Dude, and I hit it doggy style the whole time so she wouldn't see my fucking tooth while I was banging her. I'm like, turn over. This is my thing, you know? So, yeah, dude, like, that was, like, I talked away out of pussy so much. Basically, I learned that day. Sean, what were you going to say?
I lost track at this is my thing. I was going to say, I think the my biggest one was after my second UFC fight, I signed a contract to fight Brendan Schaub, and then they got canceled, and I thought, I'll never get that pussy.
Oh, there it is. There it is. That's three now. Three good ones.
All right. Well, that's our show. Anything coming up?
And then next weekend, I think, and then the weekend after that, I'm supposed to be in Vegas to do the Dirty Show with my boys, the Smash Brothers. I think that's December 10th, I want to say. And then going to London for a little fun after that. So that's what's up.
What are you doing in London?
I thought what I was going to say earlier, Adam, when you were saying you were going back to the hotel and you lost those two girls, like, they disappeared. I was going to say, I figured that would have happened in Mexico. Like, if somebody, I don't know. If you know anything about Mexico, that's sad, but true.
Greg, are you doing stand-up in London?
I'm going to do one show. I'm working with Tamer Catan. We're going to hang out one night, and I'm going to do a show. But we're primarily going – it's a little travel. It's a birthday gift for the wife. So we're taking her to London to see the Back to the Future musical, which is, like, her favorite movie. So,
well, if you want, I have a friend there that helps people get gigs. I can hook you up if you want to do more gigs.
Oh, okay.
Gigs, my joke that I was offered a role in that till now and not used it earlier.
Well, this week I will be in Canada at the Rick Bronson's comic strip in Edmonton, Canada. And then next week.
Oh my God, fucking pack a coat. Jesus, this is. Oh, I've been up there during the winter too. I think I went in January or something. And I mean, it's real.
Yeah, dude. And then next week I'll be in Las Vegas, December, Monday to Sunday, doing comedy at the Strat. Next Friday is the MMA award show. Hit me up if you want tickets to that. And then So that's what's going on. This Tuesday, I'm in Marietta. I'm sure Hendo's probably going to come. It'd be cool seeing him. And
what
then,
are you doing for Hanukkah?
Not much. I'm going to probably be in Canada.
This is like going on right now, isn't it? Right now.
Yeah. It was the first night. And then I think I'm going to be in Cabo for New Year's Eve doing comedy at the Cabo Comedy Club.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, yep. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Sean. You guys are the best. Take care.
Good to see you, buddy.
Bye-bye.